This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. Thank you for joining this webinar and welcome to it. The webinar, just to let you know, there will be a second one later on today. The content presented during these two will obviously be the same. I cannot guarantee that the same questions and answers come up, and so we will post both recordings on online after they've been completed. As I said, thank you very much for joining. This is a webinar by the Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives Department. Our team, led by Larissa, is developing the operating standards, and this webinar here is kind of a, an outreach step to kind of explain to everyone where we are since what we've progressed from since Hyderabad, and to kind of set some expectations for community outreach and how we envisage the drafting of the operating standards moving forward. And we see the agenda up here, and I'm going to move to the next slide. You also have the agenda in the AC room, the notes section there in the middle of the before I kind of kick off, I would like to kind of explain a little bit the purpose of this webinar. I kind of alluded to this right then, and kind of set the expectations. And I think I'm going to start off by saying what this is not. So the webinar is not supposed to be the outreach or the consultation. It's very much, we see this as a starting point for a continuous community consultation on the drafting of the operating standards. And kind of the progress since our presentation in Hyderabad, where we presented to the community if you want a skeleton document of the operating standards, but really just gave an overview of the different topics and sections that we envisage should feature in these operating standards. And in fact, what we said in Hyderabad, and I'd like to remind everybody on the call here, the operating standards are very much if you want, it's a twofold document. On the one hand side, they envisage to, or we envisage them to have, or to centralize, if you want, existing best practices and existing procedures and kind of centralize them in one place and one document to increase transparency and accountability for review so everybody knows what to expect. And on the other hand, they also some new aspects related to specific reviews, I'll get to that in a second, that don't exist or haven't existed prior to the GANS stewardship transition. For example, the selection of review team members brings in mind. So while what the outcome was in Hyderabad is that staff was encouraged to kind of put together some strawman language on those best practices procedures that already exist, put them together in a document to kind of give the community the chance to look it through and see where adjustments or amendments need to be made, and then take it from there and take the more meatier or the new aspect of the operating standards, if you want, take that after that to have a two-step process. I kind of talked a little bit about this slide already. Quick heads up to kind of set expectations also for slides. It's definitely a downhill after this one. Our colleagues put this together. And in fact, it's so good it'll feature twice in this presentation. Pleased to hear, I certainly am. So the operating standards here, as you can see, you know, they should be aligned with the right even from the bylaws, developed through community collaboration, and they're, you know, once in place, hopefully a system for efficient and effective reviews that kind of lead to continuous improvement, that guidance and tools for reviews, as I said to this earlier, you know, by having everything out there and the processes in a centralized document, kind of adds transparency and accountability to everybody involved, and hopefully they become what we envision I'm sorry, to be almost like a living document, where best practices because the lessons learned can be applied. Hopefully the document, once in place, kind of can evolve over time depending on what the community needs and how reviews themselves develop. And you see here, I alluded to this earlier under the ICANN 57 flag, the second point on the bottom half of the map, we had this community session where we, as I said, represented the straw man of kind of what the operating center should contain and what subject areas should feature there. Maybe my colleagues can paste a link to the session also in the AC chat. So you might be able to go back if you didn't attend the session, kind of see what was discussed there. And so in this webinar, when the next step or the next part of it, as you can see here, under agenda item 3 and 4, we're going to talk about, or I'm going to present a little bit the draft language that we came up for this straw man, specifically on organizational reviews. You heard me refer already to talk about or refer to organizational reviews. There's organizational and specific reviews that are now mandated by the bylaws post the Diana transition. And so the organizational reviews are concerned with, you know, as it says in the name, the review of the SO and ACs, as well as the nominating committee. Excluded from that is her bylaws, the GAC, and the AS4O, per its own memorandum of understanding with ICANN, writes its own review, but all the other SO and ACs are on a 5-yearly cycle of organizational reviews. And then we have the specific reviews that are called now under the new bylaws. They used to be referred to as the AOC, the Affirmation of Commitment Reviews, because that's what mandated them. And these are the Competition, Consumer Choice, and Consumer Trust, the review CCT, Security, Stability, and Resilience Review, the SSR, obviously the Registration Data Service Review, the RDS, formerly known as WHOIS, and finally, of course, the Accountability and Transparency Review, the ATRT. And those four reviews are now mandated by the bylaws and kind of contain a few new aspects that will benefit from clarifying operating standards or from being clarified in the operating standards. So the slide you have here, the organizational reviews, this is kind of the next few slides. It's kind of to give you an idea of the kind of language we put in the straw man. We have decided not to put this up for the review because we wanted to, before this webinar, I'm sorry, because we wanted to put it into context, kind of explain where this came from rather than just present you with, 8-9 pages of prose. So we will put this up after the second webinar today together with some questions, but I'll get to that later in the webinar. The structure of the document, you see this here at the bottom half of the slide. It gives an introduction to organizational and specific reviews, and then the second heading, if you want, is the organizational reviews themselves, provides an overview, talks about the independent examiner, scope setting, and the reworking party. And I'm going to go through some of the language that we added in this document through the next slide. Here you see it's text kind of taken from the document. As I said, we'll post online later. The values, the focus of reviews is to assess ICANN's fulfillment of its commitment, accountability, transparency, and to be a principal mechanism to deliver on its mission and core values as documented in the bylaws. I won't talk you through all of the slide, but it's kind of language that is taken from the bylaws and from other documents that are already in place. It's going to give everybody an overview what reviews are for. I think opening section, if you want, of what you would expect from this sort of document. The overview section obviously draws on the bylaw text. Wherever possible, we've included the direct text from the bylaws because it's important that this the text there is obviously an important puzzle of what I said is the mosaic of the operating standard practices, existing and new processes. And so here you see what the bylaws say, the new bylaws say, the board shall cause a periodic review of the performance and operation of each supporting organization, each supporting organization council, each advisory committee, earlier than the GAC, and the NUMCOM, by an entity or entities independent of the organization under review. The bylaws also prescribe, I said this earlier, I think already, that these organization reviews should not be conducted no fewer than every 5 years. And then the second section here talks a little bit about the independent examiner, so the entity or the organization that actually conducts these organizational reviews. It starts off understanding the oversight function of the ICANN board and its organizational effectiveness committee, the OEC. These organizational reviews are conducted by consultant independence, i.e. the examiner. And then in the section itself, I won't go into the details here, just to give you an idea of what kind of features there, you know, are procurement procedures that align with or kind of reflect existing best practices that ICANN organization uses to do procurements. The management of the independent examiner, the kind of the relationship between the MSSI department and the organization that conducts the review. The methodology that is going to be used, you know, again, this brings together, you know, existing best practices, talks about conducting interviews, conducting online surveys, that are accessible to all, talks about the deliverables, draft reports, final reports, expectations for public comments, and obviously the independent examiner's consultation with the review working party as well as the wider community while they conduct the review. I didn't include all the language here because I think it'll be much more productive if you do this in your own time when we put the document online. Sorry, it's little Marco Rubio there. Need some water. The second aspect here is some scope setting. Under the organizational reviews, again, there's obviously some language already provided in the bylaws and that features in the Strawman document. And in addition to what is prescribed here in the bylaws, the ICANN board through the overseeing OEC, the organizational effectiveness committee, and in consultation with the review working party, so the community body involved in these organizational reviews, may refine the scope and provide additional guidelines or priorities to the independent examiner. And again, those of you who've been involved in organizational reviews recall this is already something that is in place and very much reflects existing best practices. Review working party, each organizational review shall be supported by a review working party composed of members from the organization under review, et cetera, et cetera. I won't read through all of this. But basically, the Strawman talks about formation and size of the review working party, and the need to have a chair or co-chairs elected, of meeting frequency, and all this text again reflects what is in place at the moment. But here, especially in this section, on the formation and the size, the chair and the meeting frequency, what the text very much points out to is that the language used kind of makes clear that a lot of flexibility is given to the organization under review. Some SO or OICs might want to have more meetings and meet, you know, once a week, every week. Others might only want to meet once a month, et cetera, et cetera. So the language reflects it there. Here, it's not, we don't think it's the role of the operating standard to kind of prescribe how large a working party should be, or whether it should have one chair or two co-chairs or so on and so forth. But to kind of just give some examples of what has happened in the past, what has worked well, to kind of give the community an idea of what they could do and then adjust the details exactly to their needs. Obviously, a mailing list and a wiki page is something that, you know, for the issues, an archive of a mailing list for the matter, obviously issues that in the interest of transparency and accountability should be in place for all these organizational reviews. And that kind of is the a broad overview of what we have put in the Strawman document. It's in the beginning, about 8 pages, and we will put this online after the second webinar, and I'll talk about outreach a little bit more extensively in just a second. The second section of the Strawman deals with these specific reviews. Yeah, they're up there: accountable transparency, PCT, HSR, and the RDS, formerly the WHOIS review. And as I said, these are now mandated by the bylaws, and a number of issues have arisen, meaning that there's no existing processes or best practices. And so here, we as Icon organization didn't feel it would be for us to kind of make up or present you with even strawman language, because we're not entirely sure how the community sees this. And so this is kind of the kickoff for this part of the drafting process, because we believe that community feedback is very much needed before we actually put draft language onto virtual paper. And specifically, we've identified really 5 areas. We alluded to them already a little bit in Hyderabad. We've refined them or kind of concretized them a little bit more. And they are the selection process for review teams. So the bylaws at the moment give some broad guidelines on the size of the review teams for these specific reviews, and they also prescribe a role to the SO and AP chairs, but they don't give exact details on how the team should be put together, what happens with independent subject matter experts, what happens if fewer than the maximum of 21 people are chosen, et cetera, et cetera. And so those kind of questions, that kind of issue will certainly benefit from community input. Similarly, the role of the review team observers, many of you might have been involved in the transition, and they're obviously observers played an important role, and they have been mentioned now here in the bylaws as well to have observers during these specific reviews that kind of observe the review teams that conduct them. But the exact role and responsibilities and rights of these observers have not been defined in the bylaws, and that's where the operating standards come in. Similarly, confidentiality requirements for review team members, the scope of the review, in addition to what is prescribed in the bylaws, funnily, the amendment process. Although we haven't gotten the document yet, I think it's very important to kind of think ahead that, like, once we have the document, we really want to be this a living document reflecting best practices. What is then the procedure to amend them? Right? It probably, need a long procedure for certain aspects, and maybe a quicker amendment procedure for less substantively important subject areas. How do you define that, et cetera, et cetera? Those are the questions that we probably should start thinking about. And this brings me back to this wonderful slide. As I said, it's so good it features twice. We are at the moment, I'd like to draw your attention now to the second to the bottom half, the roadmap. So we are now at the third flag from the left, the webinar to review process. And what we would like to do is to kind of have a continuous, let's say, a feedback loop, I suppose is maybe an expression, to gather input from the community on 2 things, the draft language, as well as those, for the time being, those 5 subject areas that were just up on the previous slide. So here again, selection process, role of observers, confidentiality requirements, scope of reviews, addition to the bylaws, and the amendment process of the operating standards. And we thought about a little bit what is the best way forward to kind of make this as transparent as possible, to also make sure that not just people who are dialing into this webinar can participate in this. And so what we've come up with and what we'd very much like to hear your thoughts on is the following. We kind of intend to do something similar to the continuous public comment forum, whereby we will create a wiki page where we put draft documents and specific questions that that need answering, and then allow people to kind of email in their comments in a way they do now with public comment forums. So they will appear on the website and people can kind of click through the thread, see what other people have said, and then submit their own comments to that. To make sure, as I said, that it's not just people who were part of this webinar, we plan to send out a specific letters to the SONAC and the stakeholder group and contingency leadership teams to kind of make them aware of this outreach effort and to provide them with the email address where they can send their feedback again, and to kind of encourage everybody to think about this and provide their thoughts. And once that takes place, in Copenhagen during ICAN58, we will already present a small overview, if we have it, of any feedback we've received, as well as obviously drum up hopefully some more input if and where needed. And then after Copenhagen, this will kind of continue. We might refine the questions depending on whether we need more feedback on other issues. And then eventually, I'll put this all together into a full document of the operating standards, whether that is one piece of text or, for example, you could imagine also a text with several options, where, for example, the selection procedure, different sections of the community might have very different views. And so rather than for our staff to kind of just, pick one, what we have in mind is then present the community where applicable with the various options in language form, and then put out the entire document for public comment, for a formal public comment period, so that everybody can kind of read everything in one place, that is based substantially on community feedback that we received, and then kind of give everyone the opportunity to provide their feedback through the iteration of public comment period. And then hopefully at the end of that, and the Johannesburg flag, ICAN 59, isn't quite on the slide, but basically by the time of Johannesburg, we hopefully have either concluded or at the very end of the public comment period, and then we'll be able to present the community either there or shortly after with a full document of the operating standard that can then hopefully be adopted soon thereafter. And I believe that concludes my 15 to 20 minute presentation that I set out to do. I think I stuck more or less to the time. And I will open the floor to questions that anybody may or may not have. You can also, Katrina, I call you right away. Just one second. If you're just on the phone, or you can't for some reason don't like to speak, you can type these also into the chat or reach out to us afterwards. We make sure that on the wiki that I talked about, we'll provide the answer to these questions. It might be pertinent to everyone. And with that, Katrina, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's Katrina Satak, CCNSO. Thank you very much for this comprehensive overview and for all the work you've done so far. However, one thing is not entirely clear to me, and I'm trying to understand it. Who and at what stage has decided to extend the operating standards to organizational reviews? Because my understanding is that the bylaws require these standards to guide only specific reviews. And I agree it would be excellent to have something in place to guide organizational reviews as well, but in any case, it's optional. These operating standards actually be needed to be in place before we started launching specific reviews. Now we're already specific reviews are now already announced, and we still don't have operating standards. Now, when you put a lot of effort into developing the part of guiding organizational reviews, so it might take much longer to have the documents finally in place. And well, what worries me is that we still don't have operating standards for specific reviews, which is clearly required by the bylaws. Wouldn't it be better to not concentrate only on the part related to the specific reviews? No, just a question. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Katrina. That's a very good question. So, 2 points here. I think that I'd like to raise in my answer. We've always seen the operating standards to comprise both. Obviously, you're right, they are referred to in the specific reuse section of the bylaws, but they're referred to as review operating standards, and so we think they should comprise both these sections. And that is kind of what we work with and what we present in Hyderabad and where the feedback was positive on the way forward. Again, the feedback we had in Hyderabad was to first focus on these best practices that are already in place, and they are mostly to do with the organizational review. Having said that, if you go back and look at the skeleton document that we provided in Hyderabad, it's not that we are nowhere with specific reviews or with a section of the operating standards that are referred to in the with a section on specific reviews and the operating standards. We have kind of thought through all the issues that should be contained in there that are not just these five issues that are raised. Those are the ones that are really the most substantive ones where we as staff or as the organization don't fear that it should be tough to us to present language to the community and thereby kind of set the agenda or set the discussions one way or another. We are aware, as you said, that specific reviews are underway. By the end of the year, all four, in fact, might be underway, or will be underway for that matter, most likely. And so we were a little bit between a rock and a hard place, right? On the one hand side, the bylaws mandate the drafting of the bylaws through community consultation. And on the other hand, the bylaws also mandate the starting of these specific reviews. And so while we fully appreciate that, it would have been probably would have made things much easier if the operating standards had been developed through the community input, and only then we start the reviews, that was not possible because we had to start the reviews due to the mandate of the bylaw. What our thinking is here is that to have this run as a parallel process whereby some of these specific review teams are obviously put together by the SOAC leadership. You've been obviously involved in this. To kind of see also whether this, what is happening there by the SOAC leadership, can be used, for example, as one of those best practices and see whether we can use that as a starting point for the community have discussed or to then refine the process and kind of establish the operating standards that way. My colleague and boss for the matter, Larissa, is also on the line. Larissa, I don't know if you want to add anything to what I've just said to kind of provide more context for Katrina. Larissa might just be on mute. Larissa, if you just take the floor if you need to. I know Larissa's in the car right now.
This is Larissa Gurna. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Larissa. Go ahead.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Apparently, I've been on mute. Katrina and everybody, thank you very much for joining the webinar and for showing an interest in this topic. As Lars outlined, in regards to specific reviews, we have several areas that are new to the process, and I know that many community members are working, as we speak, very diligently putting in place processes and procedures for things like the selection of review team members and many other topics. So we are looking at this process very carefully, and we're observing as those processes develop and as the community makes decisions as to what the new processes will be, they will certainly be reflected in the operating standards. But as Lars indicated, our thinking is that it's important to give an opportunity for that work to coalesce within the community before areas get incorporated into operating standards for additional comments. And of course, anything we can do to facilitate the process, and Katrina and others, we would very much welcome feedback as to how we might move this forward more expeditiously and how a set of standards that people buy into and agree with
supply to reviews
that are unfolding as we
speak. Thank you. Thank you, Larissa. Yes, we are aware of the problem here, but if you look at it from the other side, if we had just presented a full draft of operating standards without any community consultation and then said to the SOEC leadership, use this process to do your selection, I don't think that would have been appropriate, and I also don't think that would have been welcome and received by the community. Is there anybody else who has any questions? Otherwise, I will obviously go through the next steps one more time and potentially give you some time back. All right, let me just recap very quickly what the next steps are going to be. So we're obviously going to have the second webinar later on today, or UTC time, it might just be tomorrow. No, it's 2300 hours. There's a couple of things we will specifically like your feedback on. So, as I laid out previously, we're going to create a wiki page where we'll centralize community feedback. We will provide outreach to the community, and we also will give a summary of this whole community outreach and consultation process as we move forward. And we very much would like to hear, obviously, feedback on draft language that we provide, as well as the outline of the specific review section. The skeleton document that you may have not seen already, and especially, exclusively, obviously, on the feedback on the process that we laid out here, right? Just do you think that the consultation we have in mind and the cooperation between the ICANN organization and the ICANN community, or whether any other aspect of that should be amended? We see this as a collaborative effort. What we have here is something we thought would work well, but obviously we're appreciative that community might have needs that will require some adjustments to this. And so once the wiki page is up, we'll send a note, at the very least, to these people who signed up to the webinar, and as well the outreach letters to the SOAC to explain in detail what we expect from them, or what kind of information we would like to receive from them, rather, and how to move forward. Turn out, and then obviously there will be an update session on this subject in Copenhagen And I believe that Sharla has not yet, but maybe somebody can also, I don't know if it's up already, linked to the session in Copenhagen for the time and the date. And yeah, with that, I think we can conclude the webinar early, unless there's anybody else with any questions. And as I said, it has been recorded. It will be posted afterwards, and we'll send the information out to the various bits. And with that, thank you very much. Have a lovely rest of your day, afternoon or evening. And I'll see you hopefully in Copenhagen, many of you, safe travel. And if not, I'll see you soon online, I hope. Bye-bye for now.